We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
All right, we can go. I'm glad to see all of you people today. Hello, everyone. This is Redemption Church of Plano, Texas. We are a mighty church right here, just a little north of Dallas. What kind of church is Redemption Church? Well, there's a lot of ways to answer that. Here's one way. We are the kind of church that believes in spiritual transformation. Can somebody say spiritual transformation? God has the power to change your life. You are doing something wrong if you come to church and leave in the exact same condition. There is something wrong when you spend time in prayer and you just end up the exact same way as when you started. Because we serve a God who has spiritual transformation, and we believe in that. We believe every time we come together that the Holy Spirit can change your life. Every time. And we challenge you to let your life be changed by the Holy Spirit today. Before today is over, we invite you to take a step down into this altar and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to change your life. Anybody excited to be in that kind of church? All right. Y'all got to work on being excited, all right? I'm excited. I'm glad to be in that kind of church. Hello, all you amazing people in the room, and greetings to everyone that's watching, listening online. Please leave us a like, a share, a comment, all of those things. It helps God's message to reach even further. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. You got your Bible? Turn there. If you don't have a Bible, you probably got one on your phone. You can just Google Colossians 4. It'll bring it up really quick. I love studying the Bible, and I've gotten so much out of this deep dive into Scripture. I found it very beneficial for my own life. As we draw to a close in this Colossians series, we're already becoming excited about an upcoming series in October. We're very excited. Today's the first Sunday in September, but we are already just ready for our October series. It's going to be a spooky sermon series. Can you say spooky? Spooky. Say sermon series. Sermon series. Say spooky sermon series. All right, I hope you don't scare too easily. You will definitely want to be a part of that. Be on the lookout for that. Can anybody remind me, what is the theme of the book of Colossians? Jesus is supreme. Jesus is supreme. Christ is supreme. I want you to remember that. Remember that every time you look into the book of Colossians. It comes back to us over and over again that Christ is supreme. He's above all our problems. He's above every situation. Today we're going to only look at one verse. Our scripture reading is going to be very quick. It's verse 2 of Colossians chapter 4. Verse 2, Colossians 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. I'm going to read it one more time since it's so short. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Clap your hands if you're thankful for the Word of God. Clap our hands in this house. Thank you for the Word, God. We're thankful for it. As I was studying this final chapter of Colossians, this short little verse really captured my heart, captured my attention. It says, devote yourself to prayer. I'm going to be spending some time talking on that. Devote yourself to prayer. What does that even look like? Think about that for a second. What does it look like in real life for someone to be devoted to prayer? Then ask you this question, are we doing that? Is that our life, that we are devoted to prayer? What do you think of when you hear the word devotion? Think about that. Anybody want to say something? What do you think when you hear the word devotion? 100%? Commitment? Anyone else? Time? I can't speak for everyone, but my mind goes to marriage. My mind goes to a wedding where people commit to each other for the rest of their life, not just for a week, not just for a month, not just for 10 years, but for the rest of their life they devote towards each other. A husband and wife are devoted to each other. Is that how you are when it comes to prayer? As a husband is devoted to their spouse, are you devoted to prayer? The word Paul uses for prayer, for devotion, actually, is proskartareo. And And it means devoted or constant one. All right? Are we constant towards prayer? Another way it's used, it says to give unremitting care towards. Do we give unremitting care towards prayer? To show constant readiness towards. Are we constantly ready to pray? Last one, to show oneself courageous for. Are we courageous in prayer? Constant, unremitting care, constant readiness, and courageousness. Does that describe our attitude towards prayer? Let me tell you, if that doesn't, you are not alone in this house. This week, that scripture just hit me all kinds of ways. In Paul's closing chapter to the church in Colossae, he instructs them to devote, proskatereo, to prayer. This is not the only time scripture talks about devotion to prayer. Maybe you can think of a few. I'm going to give you a few right here. In Acts 1, Jesus told them to wait and pray in Jerusalem to receive the promised Holy Spirit. Look at that. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer. That word there is the word for devotion. That word there is proskatereo. Along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So they devoted themselves to prayer before the arrival of the Spirit. Do we see that? Yeah. Did they continue to devote themselves to prayer after the Spirit came? Well, Acts 2, 42, after the Spirit was poured out, it says this. They devoted themselves. That word there, devoted. It's our word, proskatereo. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to what? Prayer. In Acts 6, surely they only just devoted, you know, for like a chapter or two. You know, surely it only lasted for like a month. Like there was like just a red hot revival and they were devoted then. But we're talking like maybe a decade later. Surely they had gotten away from devotion to prayer. Well, let's look. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. And the disciples said, and we'll give our attention. There it is again. Proskatereo. Devotion. We will give our devotion. We'll give our attention. We'll give our courageousness. We'll give our constant readiness to what? To prayer and the ministry of the word. Paul's letter to Rome, his letter to Rome also addressed devoted prayer. Now this is a long time after the occurrence in Acts chapter 6. Romans 12 and 2 says this, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful, proskatereo. Faithful in what? In prayer. Devoted to what? Prayer. Faithful to what? Constant in what? Courageous in what? Prayer. Prayer. Redemption Church, we need to be devoted to prayer. Now wait, here's the deal. That sentence doesn't get a lot of amens. But if I stood up here and said, Redemption Church, we need to be devoted to Jesus. Well, that might actually, if Marshall were here and Shelton were here, because they clap for me. Hint, hint, hint. They say amen. But if I said, Redemption Church, we need to be devoted to Jesus, y'all be like, oh yeah, right? Y'all be all over that. Redemption Church, we need to be devoted to love and mercy. You'll be like, oh yeah, I can get behind some of that. Redemption Church, we need to be devoted to prayer. Crickets. Crickets, right? What is that? I just got a question for you, and I want you to answer this into your own heart. Can we really be devoted to Jesus? Can we really be devoted to loving others? Can we really be devoted to the kingdom of God if we aren't devoted to prayer? You think about that. You think about that today, all right? I want to give you three things about being devoted to prayer, okay? Very simple things for you to think about. We must, there are going to be some musts here. If you want to be devoted to prayer, you must pray often. The Bible actually says continually. continually, all right? We need to pray every day, right? MC Hammer used to have a song. I can only name like three MC Hammer songs, right? One of them was pray. You got to pray. Pray. You got to pray just to make it today. All right. That was just a great little MC Hammer song. He was too legit to quit, that MC Hammer. We need to pray every day. You're not going to really make it in life today if you don't spend some time in prayer. We must have a constant flow of prayer in our life, all right? I'm going to give you some things here. It should not be strange for you to talk to God during the day. I grew up with a dad who would just talk to God. We'd be in the middle of anything. We would be in the grocery store. We would be in the car. We would be around the house. And he might just say, Jesus, I'm so thankful for you, God. He would just say that just right there. Sometimes he would just shout, hallelujah. He'd just like sing hallelujah to the Lord. And some people would go, that's strange. Why is that strange? Isn't he a Christian? And doesn't he believe God is alive and Jesus is present? It would be weird to be a Christian and not actually talk to the God that you believe in. Come on, somebody. All right. It should not be rare for you to pray with and for others during your day. I'm telling you, we need like an instancy in us when we see a situation that we pray. Somebody's not feeling good, we pray. We pray with them, we pray for them, right? It should not be rare to talk to God during the day. It should not be rare for you to pray with and for others. You should have prayer built into your life. And that's not crazy. That's not cult talk, okay? All right, we're not talking about we all wear certain kinds of sneakers and we're all going to live inside the same house for some God behind a comet to come and get us. No, that's cult stuff. No, we're talking if you really believe in a God, you should build into your life talking to that God. Set time aside to talk to the Lord. Set time aside to talk to the Lord. You set time aside to do everything else. Yeah, there is a certain time of day you are going to be in front of your television to see that show. You will buy tickets online, and my goodness, people will die before you miss the trailers to that movie. Y'all don't have to amen me. I know that's true, right? Do we set aside time to talk to the Lord? All right, how about this one? You should be living a life of relationship with Jesus. Do you agree? Prayer, that is talking with him, then should just flow naturally outside, out of that relationship. I challenge us to set a consistent time in our schedule to pray. That's my challenge to you today. I challenge you to put in your heart, to put in your mind, and to really put in your calendar today a consistent time in your schedule to pray. Do it. When we talk about continually pray, what we do is what that really is talking about. That doesn't mean that, sorry, I can't talk to you right now, boss. I am our Father who art in heaven. I'm praying right now. I can't talk. No, that's not what that means. That means that you are continually flowing inside and out with God, like he is standing right beside you. And yeah, you will talk to your boss, and right after you talk to your boss, you're going to continue your talk with the Lord. You do that in the natural all the time. You're hanging out with your friend, and then we'll talk about the ending to Avengers Infinity War in a second. All right, and then you talk to your boss, and then you're like, can you believe that? I'm still crying. Right. Avengers Infinity War, you should pray before you see it. I challenge us to set a consistent time in our schedule to pray. Pray consistently. Pray continually. Pray often. Number two, we must pray deeply. We must pray deeply. What does it mean to pray deeply? Think about that. I want to tell you, we should grow in depth when it comes to prayer. As kids, we sometimes learned rhyme prayers to help us pray. Did anybody learn some rhyme prayers to help you pray? All right. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. All right. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for this food, right? I found some others. I don't know these. Maybe you know them. Thank you, God, for food and prayer. Teach us how to love and share. There's another one. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Thank you, God, for feeding me. Right? And then, of course, a little less reverent. Good food, good meat, good Lord. Let's eat. Amen. Right? We got these prayers that are rhymes that help us pray. Right? If a six-year-old prays that, no one flinches. They're like, oh, how sweet. Like, but if a 26-year-old prays that, 26-year-old man with his family around him, right? God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for his food. Amen. If he prays that, that ought to set off an alarm. A red flag ought to go up. We should expect more depth in prayer at this point than that. Can you get me? Am I making sense? Right. The 26-year-old ought to have more depth in his prayer than the 6-year-old. You follow me? Your prayer life should grow in depth. You should be better at prayer than you were at the beginning of the year. Are you? Every year that you live, you ought to be better at prayer. I'm trying my best to train physically, so I'm just not a fat preacher, all right? Trying my best not to be one of those. And I keep having to compare. It's hard to compare yourself day to day, so I have to compare myself to a year ago. Remember, I couldn't lift that a year ago. And because I'm training, I see improvement, not so much day by day, but over long stretches of period, longer periods of time. When it comes to prayer, it should be training. You got to train yourself. A year ago, are you a better prayer person today than you were a year ago? If not, there's something wrong with your devotion. There is something wrong with your training. Does that make sense? All right. You should be better at it. Your devotion to prayer ought to bring you into greater depth. So is it? Is it actually doing that? Here are some shallow things we do in prayer. We make prayer only about us, our ego, our selfish desires, our Dallas Cowboys. My goodness, there will be more prayer coming up in the next few weeks because the NFL season's going to be starting, right? We got a brand new kicker. Oh, what are we doing? We're going to be praying every field goal. There will be a lot more prayer. But those prayers are shallow prayers. Okay, those prayers are shallow. I know I want my Cowboys to beat the Philadelphia Eagles too. I totally believe it's God's will. That's only halfway a joke. I know that. But come on, praying over football, that's some shallow, egotistical, weird stuff, okay? Here's another way to pray shallowly. We don't repent. We don't repent. How essential is repentance to salvation? 100%. How essential is repentance to the Christian life? 100%. How essential is repentance to your prayer life? 100%. You want shallow prayer? Don't repent. Moving on. We don't pray for others. If you have a bunch of me and a bunch of I, you talk to about yourself in third person, that would be weird in your prayer. Dear Lord, you know how much we love Chris Fluitt. Lord, please, Lord, you know how Chris Fluitt always tries hard. Look, that would be really strange. A me-centered prayer is completely self-centered and shallow. How about this one? This one takes a little more maturity. We only talk in prayer. We never listen. You want to go deeper in prayer? You actually have to create space for God to talk to you. And you actually have to listen. And then guess what? You really want to grow? You have to do what he says. He will tell you to forgive somebody, and you got to do it. He will tell you to give money to something, and you got to do it. He will tell you to go to your Bible and start reading, and you got to do it. He will tell you to pick up your phone and call somebody, and you got to do it. And take it from me, don't text them, call them. I've got a funny story about that sometime, I'll tell you. We only talk, we don't listen. Here's another one. You want shallow prayer? Here it is. We don't pray in the Spirit. You got to go deeper. You got to learn how to pray in the Holy Spirit. You got to let that Spirit that Jesus has put inside of you, birthed inside of you, you've got to let that have control of your prayer life. That will take you deeper. We worry about what others may think about us. What people will say about us. How we look to others when we pray. That's pretty shallow. I think every time we open up this altar, there is a little bit of that that goes on. I think that there are people in this house that need to get a hold of God, but their fear about what other people thought might keep them away. I tell you, as a kid, I remember many times not coming to pray like I should because I thought somebody would think, oh man, Chris must be in trouble. The truth was I was in trouble. I needed prayer. Oh my goodness, someone might think Chris Fluitt is a sinner. I am a sinner in need of help and I need to repent. Wouldn't that be stupid to keep that out, keep you away from the altar? I would tell you that that is some shallow stuff. We need to go deeper. We must pray deeper. Challenge. There are deep places for you to dive in prayer. And I challenge us to let God draw us deeper into prayer. I challenge us to let God draw us deeper into prayer. There are some places you can go in prayer that you'll cry. There are some places you go into prayer that you will sense things in the Spirit that aren't you. They are the Spirit. You've got to let God draw you deeper into those things. So we must pray often, continually, and we must pray deeply. And then third, we must pray effectively and fervently. Can you say effectively?
Effectively.
Can you say fervently?
Fervent.
We got James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effective, fervent prayer. Both of those things are describing the prayer. We need to be effective. We need to be fervent. If James tells us about effective prayer, then it stands to reason that there is what kind of prayer? Ineffective prayer. If he's telling you to pray effectively, that means that there is, if you aren't careful, you could pray ineffectively. James 4:3 talks about praying incorrectly. It says praying amiss in the King James. That even though they prayed, they will not get what they asked for because they were not praying correctly. We don't just want prayer. It's not a time card. It's not just showing up. It's not just checking a box that said, okay, I prayed today. We don't just want prayer. We want effective prayer. We want prayer that results in the growth of God's kingdom. That's effective prayer. You see, what's effective is having a goal and hitting the goal, accomplishing the goal. And Christians, our goal is God's kingdom. Our goal is Jesus Christ, to be more like him. Our goal is to see the spread of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to every person, to see all our friends and family members saved. We want to see that. We need that goal. You got to have something to aim for if you want to be effective. So let me quickly tell you, you need to be very specific when you pray. Because you've got a very specific goal. Be very specific. Don't just say, Lord, just save everyone in Plano. No, that's not an effective prayer. Here's what's effective. Pray for somebody really close to you. Pray for God, I pray that they would come to know you. I pray, Lord, that we would have be specific about it. God, I want us to have a conversation where I get to share Jesus Christ with them. That is a very specific prayer, and it will be an effective prayer. Do you understand? Do you understand? Are you with me? James tells us to have a effective prayer. And then James tells us to have a fervent prayer. Do you know what fervent means? Somebody describe fervent. Passionate, that's it. It means to display a passionate intensity. You ever see a sporting event? Those players are just diving on a basketball court for that ball. I'll never forget seeing Shaquille O'Neal run down the court to save the ball. He throws it behind him, and he just jumps over the first row of chairs and lands in the second row of chairs. There were people in those chairs, y'all. Scary. What was that? That was fervent basketball right there. That was intense. That was passionate. That was laying all out just for a single play, just for a single possession of a ball, right? Can you be fervent in prayer? Can you be like that in prayer? Does fervency describe your prayer life? Passionate and intense. I want you to realize that prayer is a spiritual war strike against the enemy. Do you understand that about prayer? That prayer is a spiritual war strike against the enemy. Picture real quick a war strike. What does that look like in your head? For me, it looks like a big missile. There's a base right there where all the terrorists are, and that missile just goes, and you see only clouds. You only see smoke anymore because what was there is completely blown off the face of the earth. Can I tell you that fervent prayer is a spiritual war strike against the enemy? Now let's get real. You got somebody that's got cancer. It's not a time to go, Lord, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. No, sir. It's not time for that. Your family doesn't know Jesus. Your friends don't know Jesus. It's not time to just go, well, dear Lord, here's a song that rhymes. Please save my friends just in time. Not time for that. No, sir. We need a fervent prayer. We need a passionate prayer. We need a military war strike from heaven that is started by your prayer. Do you believe that your prayer can do that? Do you believe that your prayer can do that? Do you believe that your prayer in faith can move mountains? Do you believe that your prayer in the name of Jesus can cause demons to get up out of people? Do you believe that your prayer can change the world? I won't stop till somebody believes it. Do you believe it? Be fervent. Prayer causes cancer cells to shrink. We've seen it. We've seen it. You are talking to the wrong person if you're going to tell me that that's not possible. It happens in prayer. Prayer causes demons to flee. Chris Fluitt, do you really believe that? Oh, yes, I do, and I've seen it. I've seen it happen. Prayer causes your enemies to become converted and sit in the chair next to you in church. Y'all hold on for a second. You got somebody that's your enemy. You got somebody that's a problem at your work. I want to tell you, stop praying, God, get them. Stop praying, God, I want them to lose their job and be embarrassed. Stop praying that. Say, God, sit them in the chair next to me in church. Sit them in the chair next to me. I want to see them saved, God. So I want to see them blessed. I want to see them filled with the joy of God and the peace of God. Prayer does that. Prayer does it. Prayer turns a Saul into a Paul. Turns a Christian killer into the apostle that wrote the very book we're studying. Pray fervently. Prayer causes things that should never work in your life to be your greatest victory. You ever sense something or God tells you to do something or you try to do something for God and it's like, that will never work. Go witness to that person. Yeah, God, sure. Right? I want you to go give money that you don't have to that ministry. Oh God, that's a disastrous thought. Like talking to God about that. Can I tell you something? just listen. Prayer causes those things that you laughed at and scoffed at to become your greatest victory. It becomes your greatest testimony where you can say, listen, I didn't think there was any way in the world that it would ever work, but I remember I prayed to God, I trusted in Him, and He did the rest. Somebody wave your hand to me if you have that experience in your life. You got that experience in your life. I've got that experience in my life. I remember one time my adopted brother Linus was in the house with us, and he was just in turmoil, and he was just having a fighting attitude and a fighting spirit, and it's like we couldn't do anything. He was going to argue about something. There was no peace in the house. He was going to argue about everything. And I remember my dad was trying to reason with him. He was trying to talk sense into him. He was being really nice and very patient about it. He was really showing the fruit of the Spirit, but getting nowhere. And I remember it hit me so strongly in my heart. I just said to both of them, let's all pray right now. I was 18 years old, and I just got down on my hands and knees, and they followed suit. And you know what? The joy of the Lord chased out all of that bitterness. The peace of God came into that house and chased out that argument. And I'll never forget, Linus just started laughing with the joy of the Lord. It was so funny. It was hilarious. He's just like, I love you, Jesus. He's just laughing. Like, what have I even been doing? The joy of the Holy Ghost was His strength and transforming his life right then and right there. That should have never worked. You talk to a psychologist, they'll tell you, that's the dumbest idea ever. That guy needs to go come in and get medicated. That's what they'll tell you. But let me tell you, prayer changes things, and the things that should never work, when you connect prayer and faith together, you'll see the impossible become your greatest testimony ever. It is time we got fervent in prayer. It's time we prayed like we really meant it. None of this happens without a devotion to prayer. We must pray often, continually. We must pray deeply. We must pray effectively and fervently. Say amen if you agree. Amen. We need to be a church devoted to prayer. Let's look one more time at chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful. Everyone say watchful and thankful. Then Paul, from his jail cell, tells us two things: to be watchful and thankful. We're going to talk about watch real quick. Paul takes a word that Jesus used many times in his ministry. Are you aware of this? Maybe you can think of a time he used the word watch. The word means to be vigilant. It means to be active and cautious. And it comes from a root word that actually means wake up. If you want to wake up somebody, how do you do that? You go, little boy, wake up. Like, my kids were running late for school in the morning. I don't go in there and go, little Hudson, sweetheart, we're running late. We have to get in the car in one. No, it's like, wake up! Lights flashing, thunder. Let's get up. Wake up. The word watch means to be vigilant. It means to wake up. You ever been woken up all of a sudden? Yeah. In our society now, we got a little hashtag called woke. You know what woke is? Woke means that you don't see things like you used to see them. You are alert to a brand new way of thinking and seeing something. I tell you what, we need to be woke. We need to be awake to what is spiritual and what is physical. We need to be awake to what the devil is trying to do in our world. We need to be awake to the fact that the people around us don't know Jesus. We need to be awake to the fact that we are to carry the gospel into all the world, and it's the fourth quarter. It's 2 minutes left in the game, and we are behind in the score. Somebody needs to wake up. Look at somebody and say, wake up. That was like, that would never get my boys up in the morning. Somebody needs to say, wake up! That might get me up. All right. Jesus uses this word as a command 14 times in the Gospels. Here's one verse. Verse like this is often seen, Matthew 24 and 42. Therefore, keep watch. Very same word in the Greek. Keep watch. Why? Because you don't know on what day your Lord will come. The Lord's coming back, so you better watch. He says this several times. Jesus, when he goes later to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, that happens right before what? Right before Jesus is taken to the cross. When he is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, the very location where Jesus is going to be betrayed by Judas and taken from his disciples, they are not going to be hanging around anymore on this side of the cross. Jesus pleads, and I want you to know, I want you, when we read these verses, I want you to feel the fact that he is pleading with his disciples to watch. Matthew 26, verse 38. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Verse 39. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground. Can you picture Jesus? He's going a little ways and he ends up flat on his face. And prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Verse 4. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he asked Peter, "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? I asked you to keep watch. Couldn't you keep watch with me for just an hour?" Verse 41. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." That is four verses right there. And in four verses, three times, Jesus pleads with his disciples to watch and to pray. To watch with him. It is by no mistake that Jesus used this word when giving final instruction to the church in Colossae. From our study, he doesn't just randomly choose words. His words are well thought out. They are used mightily, and they are connected to the words of Jesus over and over again. It's an emotional word choice, isn't it? Are y'all with me, or did we all just watch Sarah go to the piano? It's an emotional word choice, isn't it? Jesus, in his hour of need, asked us to watch, and he uses that very same phrase to us. Colossae, wake up. You don't know what's about to happen. Be alert, watch, and pray. Can I tell you, that might be God's message to us today? Wake up. Wake up, Redemption Church. People are giving up hope and they're giving up faith. Wake up and pray. There are churches on every street corner, yet we are losing this current generation to a devil's hell. Oh, yes, we are. I dare you to argue that we aren't. Wake up and pray. Christian brothers and sisters are living under growing persecution for sharing their faith. Wake up and pray. Can you turn down some? It's right over here, babe. Christian brothers and sisters are living under growing persecution for sharing their faith. Oh, yes, they are right now. You think you got it bad? We got nothing on China. We got nothing on Nepal. We got nothing on Russia. I suggest we wake up and we pray. You have friends and family who have never come to faith in Jesus Christ. Wake up. Pray. We live in the world's richest and most blessed country. And from our blessing, we could build water wells. We could fund medical clinics. We could clothe and feed hungry children. We could build orphanages. We could build homes. We could build churches. But we're so stuck in our materialism that we're living paycheck to paycheck in the most blessed nation on the face of the planet. I suggest that we wake up and we pray. Jesus pleaded with his disciples 3 times, watch with me. Redemption, will you watch with him? Will you wake up? Will you pray with him? Will you watch and pray? Will you come willingly to this altar right now? Do I have to beg you to come, or will you come today? Is there anyone with a hunger to come and pray today? Is there anyone that wants to repent of their apathy towards prayer? Will anyone rush to an altar today with urgency? Thank you for coming. Will anyone join these that are already here? Are there any believers that want to devote to prayer? Are you tired of living the life that you have without the unction and the power and the depth of a relationship with Jesus Christ? Come and pray in this altar. If you want special prayer, you come in the first 2 feet. We will be happy to pray with you. But I want us to wake up. I want us to devote to prayer. If you're watching, listening online right now where you are, begin to talk to the Lord. Begin to call on him. Can you be fervent? Can you be effective? Can you begin to ask Jesus for important things in your life? Could you stop praying shallow prayers? And could you specifically ask him to help you to witness to your friends and your family to see the world change? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person in this room right now. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would awaken to prayer, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would take brand new steps towards you. Lord, I pray that right now in this altar, that people in this house would come into your presence, that they'd feel your anointing, God. Lord, that you would transform their life right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for people watching, listening online, Lord, that they would call on you and that they would pray at a brand new depth, God, that the Spirit of God would meet them and minister in them and actually do intercession through them, God. Father, in Jesus' name, get a hold of our hearts, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, church, let's talk to God in this house. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Jesus, Holy Spirit, oh, come flood this place, fill the atmosphere, your glory, God, you are welcome here, yes, the atmosphere, your glory, God. It's what our hearts long for. To be overcome. I hope you feel the presence of the Lord in this place. Do you feel his presence in this place? I'm telling you, this prayer life and what you feel right here doesn't need to become rare. It doesn't need to just happen on Sundays every once in a while. It needs to happen every day of your life. We need this every day of our life. I want us to return one more time to Colossians 4, verse 2. I've got something to share with you real quick. He tells us to be watchful. And what was that last word? And thankful. I need to tell you, Redemption, that Paul added one last command from his jail cell. And it seems a little counterintuitive to come from a jail cell. He says to be thankful. Paul wrote that from a jail cell. That really has to hit home with us. Be thankful. With all the heaviness of things that you're dealing with, don't forget to be thankful. We prayed about some things in this place today that were heavy. People going to hell, that's heavy. Worried about your finances, that's heavy. Worried about your church, worried about your calling, all of that is really heavy. But in that middle of that heaviness, don't forget this last comment from a jail cell, to be thankful. We just prayed for some desperate things. People we love are sick. People we love don't know Jesus, the heavy burden of responsibility to do something more for God's kingdom, all this heaviness. But even in that state of intercessory prayer, we need to remember that we also have so much to be thankful for. Just because you have problems all around you doesn't mean that you enter into prayer with a woe is me attitude, with an Eeyore. We know Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Sometimes we become Eeyore when we're going through problems, don't we? Oh, I guess I'll just pray. That's how he talks, right? Well, no, that's not how you pray. We pray in a spirit of thankfulness. Do you understand? Even though you've got all these problems, you've got the very ear of the one who healed the blind, raised the dead, turned fishes and bread to feed thousands. You've got his ear. He hears you when you pray. You ought to be thankful for that. You ought to be full of faith in that. Are you thankful for a God that hears your prayer? Then even in your problem, you ought to be prayerful and thankful. Are you thankful that you are not alone? God's with you. You're not alone. You have brothers and sisters that are also standing with you. You are not alone. As we get ready to do service close here, as we get ready to dismiss from this time together, I want us to be thankful. Can we sing this song one more time? Holy Spirit. Sing it together. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place. Fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts to be overcome. Come on, sing it with some thankfulness. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place. Fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God. God is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your prayer. Can we clap our hands to the Lord in this place? God, we love you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. I give you glory, Lord. God, you're so wonderful to me. I'm so thankful for you, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Lord, we love you, God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you for being here with us today.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.